Blog Talk Radio.
Bring it. What?
Good morning.
On your mark, ready, set, let's go.
All right, we'll put Will Smith away there and get on with our show. And thanks so much for joining us on a Monday night. Hopefully you're getting ready to watch the Wisconsin game just like I am. I'll be doing that before too long. Shouldn't miss too much of it. Hope you had a great Easter. I hope you enjoyed that. We had a little time with the family and did that whole thing yesterday. And back at it again. I'm actually off this week. The kiddos are off as well, so I took this week off and doing the whole dad thing and taking care of that. And had to do a show tonight. Been looking at some various things. And the biggest thing that I keep seeing over and over and over again, and I don't know why, so I thought I would do a quick show on it, simply called How Much Protein Do You Really Need? Simplifying the Need. Because it's so simple. It's not a complicated thing. And so I guess what we really need to start off with is assessing the need and then figuring out exactly how to do it, you know, what the recommendations are, simple things like that. But understand, folks, this is not that complicated. Excuse me. This is not a difficult thing, even though lots of people have made it a big deal. And I guess my major beef with this whole thing is simply that it's as if you have to ignore what your body is telling you and either stuff yourself with protein or not get enough, or you have to eat the same amount for every meal or the same amount every day. You have to make sure you're getting a certain amount per day. And I'm hearing ridiculous amounts of stuff. I mean, it is ridiculous how much I've heard some people eating. I've seen guys that were 160 or 70 pounds eating 230 or 40 grams of protein. And for the life of me, I can't figure out why anybody would want to eat that much of anything. And, I mean, you look at vegetarians and you think, really, you're going to eat vegetables all day? You're going to eat that many vegetables all day? But really, you're going to eat close to 1,000 calories worth of protein in one day? I mean, or eat it every day? It just seems rather ridiculous that protein would make up such a big part of somebody's day, as if you had to eat that much of it in order to get the results that you were looking for. And so I guess the way that I look at this whole thing is, number one, I don't count calories. I don't count grams. I don't count percentages. What I do is I eat a balanced diet. And when I do really heavy workouts, I make sure I have a protein supplement afterwards, just to make sure that all the bases are covered right after that. And when you have a protein supplement like whey protein isolate, that the amino acids that are in there, which is really what we're talking about, we're not just talking about protein, we're talking about those 9 essential amino acids that you have to have in order to build muscle. But you need them for a lot more than that. You actually need them for brain function. You need them for appetite function. You need it for, believe it or not, hair, nails, stuff like that. And then you need it for recovery from injury. So there's a lot of reasons that you need it for. So we're not just talking about muscle mass, or we're going to gain muscle. And so when I'm thinking about what I need for protein in a given day, which honestly I don't, really what I do is I get an idea of how I'm going to feel after a meal. What am I looking for? Do I want to get some Ezekiel 4-9 bread, toast it, and throw some peanut butter on there? Do maybe I want a banana and peanut butter? Do I want an apple and peanut butter? Those are nice little breakfast ideas. Oftentimes what I'll do is I'll have a couple of pieces of Ezekiel 4-9 bread and then have some fruit along with it. And I'll eat that on the way into work. And it's just, it's so easy. It's a quick thing to do. And when you're brewing up whatever you're brewing up in the morning, tea or coffee or whatever, you got your toast in the toaster, you make your stuff and you leave, or you eat it and you leave. But not a complicated thing. And then throughout the day, I'm eating salad and I've got beans on there. And, you know, you throw some avocado on there and you mix the greens up. So you're getting kale and you're getting romaine and you're getting whatever else you want to throw in there. But I'm throwing in tomatoes. I'm throwing in a bean of some kind or a lentil of some kind, whether I'm throwing in some quinoa, which I'll normally just eat that on its own. It's not very good on a salad. It just doesn't keep. But typically I'll throw some chickpeas, or I'll throw some black beans or some kidney beans or something, like just throw something on there. And I'll also throw a little bit of fruit in there because I'm usually eating that during the day when I have a you know, pretty high intensity job out running around. And so I make sure that I'm getting some protein and some carbs at every meal simply because I need it. I know I'm going to burn it immediately. But along with this whole protein thing, and really considering why it's even necessary to have this debate, I think really the biggest thing is so many people are looking at what they're doing based upon how a bodybuilder would do it. And I don't understand that. I mean, if you're not a bodybuilder, why would you care what bodybuilders eat for protein? I really want to function. I really want to be able to do my job well. I really want to not have mental fog and fatigue. I want my appetite to be normal. I want normalcy in my life. And so there's a certain amount of protein that's required for that. And it's not 1 gram per pound of body weight. If you're a bodybuilder and you're doing that, that's fine. But if you start getting fat doing that, then you need to stop. You need to come down off of that. Now, in fact, I think I'll throw this out there too. The guest call-in number, if you want to call in, you got some questions, or if you want to add something to this show, 914-205-5494. Just call on in and we'll get you on air right away. There's nobody in that list right now. And in fact, I will open up that chat room too if you want to put it in there. If you want to just put a question in there, I'll hopefully notice it and get to it by the end of the show. I've got the show set up for 45 minutes, but it doesn't need to go that long. And I don't know that it will unless we get some phone calls. But just understand, you know, this protein thing, not that complicated. If you're not a bodybuilder, don't think like a bodybuilder. If you're not a marathon runner or a distance runner, don't think like a distance runner. Those two folks are at the opposite ends of the spectrum as far as need. If you're sedentary, don't worry about what bodybuilders or anybody else is doing. You don't need near as much of anything. But the bottom line is, if you want to be healthy, and that's primarily what I want to deal with, is the health aspect, not just, you know, getting the body you want or benching 315 or squatting 405. The idea here is, what's the point of all that stuff if we're not going to be healthy? And it's the same thing with carb consumption or protein consumption or whatever consumption. If you're not going to be healthy after you have it, I mean, does it really need to be a big part of your day? I mean, is it something you need to spend a lot of time worrying about? And so what I thought I would do is come at this from a couple of different angles. I think if I were to go back and really parse everything that I ate, I would probably be a little over 100 grams of protein a day, maybe even as much as 130 or so in a day. And it would vary based upon my activity level. See, guys, what I want to do is I want to make this not rocket science. I want to make this not some scale that you do or this formula that you obey so that way everything works the way it's supposed to. Because that's just not the reality of it. Basically, your protein needs are going to vary along with your calorie needs. Not that big of a deal, right? Pretty simple. And so that being the case, vary your protein intake along with your caloric intake. If you need more calories that day, if you seem to be hungry and, you know, can't really get enough food, increase your calories and your protein will increase. I mean, unless you're eating Reese's peanut butter cups and drinking 44-ounce, you know, things of pop, cups of pop from the gas station or whatever. Obviously, we're not talking about any of that stuff. But if you want to be healthy, you're not going to eat a lot of that stuff anyway. If you want to lose, if you're looking to lose some weight, obviously, we're not talking about that stuff. So what I really want to deal with is, what does it take to be healthy, and what does it take for you to meet the requirements of what it is that you're doing? Well, if you're an endurance athlete, you're obviously not going to need as much. The World Health Organization says 0.36 grams per pound of body weight. And if you're going to be an endurance athlete, you're going to have to go up from there. If you're going to be a strength athlete, you're probably going to have to go up from that even. So instead of 0.36 or 0.4, you're going to maybe want to go to 0.5. And so for me, right now, where I'm at right around 200 pounds, a little under that. And so I would probably need, you know, in the 100-ish range for what I do. I may need more some days. I may need less some days. But I am not stressing about what I need for protein simply because I got to eat. I get hungry. There's a certain amount of food it's going to require for me to do that, in order to satisfy that hunger, I got to eat a certain amount of food. If I'm eating a balanced diet, and I don't mean that pyramid that the government puts out. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about not only carbohydrates, protein, and fat, but I'm also talking about the salads and the beans and the fruits and the veggies and all that stuff. You got to have that stuff. All of those things help you recover. All of it. Not just protein. Protein is not the only thing that helps you recover. And so your body becomes deficient in all of those things because all of the systems are working. Whether it's the secretion of a different hormone for some reason, or you need increased brain power for work, or what, I mean, there's going to be something that's going to require you or tax you to the point where you need something more in your diet, so you eat more. All that's pretty simple stuff. And so if you're going, let's say you're the person going for muscle. Now, at my weight, at 200 pounds, I am 195. I really need somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 grams. And I would hesitate to go up too much from that. And everybody I know says 0.8, 0.8, 0.8 per, 0.8 per pound of body weight. You need 0.8 grams. So what they're saying is I need something like 150, 160 grams of protein. That's a lot of food for just, that's just protein. And then when you start looking at what it takes to get that, from the meat sources and all of that, because it's going to be difficult to consume the calories that you need to get that from plants or soy or any of the other ways that you try to get it. So the higher that caloric amount is, the higher that protein amount is, the more difficult it's going to be to get it from just this balanced diet of plants. And I hear this too. It's some of the stuff, some of the research I was doing just before the show. And I'm not opposed to going more plant-based. I think it's a much healthier way to go. It's been proven that the protein in animal protein also increases the reality of diabetes to people. And so you are more likely to become a diabetic, a type 2 diabetic, if you eat a lot of animal protein. It's very simple. You are more likely to get cancer if you eat animal protein, lots of animal protein. And it doesn't even require a lot. As you start to add animal protein on a regular basis to your diet, your chance for cancer goes up. And like I said before, we are concerned about health here. And we're concerned about not counting calories. And we're concerned about not having a certain number of meals that we have to eat every day. When did we become so dumb that we couldn't just eat a darn meal when we were hungry? I don't understand why this whole diet thing has to be so hard. Eat when you're hungry. Well, how do I know if I'm hungry? And you know what? That's actually a very good question. How do I know if I'm hungry is a darn good question, because the way that all of these things work, whether you're hungry or whether you're addicted or whatever it is, what's happening is when you eat something toxic to the body, something it doesn't need, sugar, the processed stuff, caffeine, those are the two big ones. God forbid you start throwing smoking in there, or drugs, or alcohol, or in decent amounts of, especially the harder stuff. The harder you get, the more the body doesn't recognize it, and you get these crazy reactions to it. The more you do that, the more the body begins to sustain damage to tissues that it cannot repair. And so what happens is, as soon as your body stops digesting, and then starts to use the nutrients that it's stored, the protein, the fat, the carbohydrates, and everything else that you've taken in, and it starts to use those things to regulate systems and all of that, it begins to take the nutrients like the phytochemicals and the antioxidants and all of those things, and it begins to repair the body, the systems in the body and the tissues in the body. And so that is that uncomfortable feeling that you get. And so what happens is people eat again. And so they get up and they go to the refrigerator, not because it's been a while since they've eaten, but because now their body is starting to repair itself and they're uncomfortable. And what the body really needs is the opportunity to continue to repair itself before any more food is put in there. So if it has an hour or two before it gets another balanced diet or another balanced meal, it's simply going to repair. And then when you put more, the green leafies in, the fruits and vegetables in, the tomatoes and the peppers and all of those types of things, and you're putting in all the right stuff, you're using that brown rice that it takes, 30 minutes to cook, or any number of things that you can eat that will make the body function in a more efficient manner. I'm trying to come up with something specific that you would eat that would handle a certain function, but, you know, one of those brain things that happens when you go on the air, even though you know it like the back of your hand. But as you begin to eat, the body begins to repair itself. After that digestion process and the storage process, the body begins to repair itself. And so as it does that, that's a good thing, but it doesn't always feel like a good thing. And so we get up and we go and we have some more sugar or we have some more caffeine or we have another cigarette, because the feeling that happens when we have that nicotine withdrawal or we have that sugar withdrawal, it's uncomfortable. And so we want that to stop. So how do you do it? You eat more. You feed that desire or you feed that withdrawal symptom. And so what happens is it becomes this vicious cycle of weight gain, because you don't really want to be in a position of quote unquote being hungry. It's not really hunger at all. It's actually withdrawal. And so you eat more and you eat the stuff that's going to make that go away, because the salad's not going to make a sugar withdrawal necessarily go away. It will eventually, but right away it's going to be difficult because the body's going to crave it. It wants that quick up. And same thing with caffeine. How many folks think it's impossible to make energy without caffeine? It's a neurological response. It has nothing to do with energy. And so what people do is they do more of the wrong stuff, which creates more problems, and this is how the disease gets created. And so when I need to do something like repair some of this damage, then I go on to this more balanced diet that has a whole lot less of this other stuff, and these systems repair itself. My body automatically knows the weight it's supposed to weigh, and it already knows how to address the stresses that are put on it and adjust to them. And the muscle that I need to deal with the stress that I'm putting on, it's automatically going to do it. And if it needs more, then what will happen is, if it needs more of whatever, protein, fat, carbs, it'll just signal, hey, you know, I've already gone through the stuff that you put in, put some more in, and then I'll put it in an amount that it can use, and then it'll work. It's a beautiful system, and it works. But for whatever reason, we think we got to do powders, and we got to do pills, and we got to do all kinds of stuff in order to make the body do what it was designed to do. You pull the DNA out, it'll tell you everything it's supposed to do. It was doing it long before any of these supplements showed up. It's not like, man, if we wouldn't have created these, it's not like Enfamil. If Enfamil wasn't created, that poor kid's child dies, because it was born without an enzyme that gave it the ability to digest the mother's milk. And so he had to give the baby nutrients, and so he created Enfamil. I can't think of the guy's name, but if your mom or your dad and you have Enfamil in the house, go look. It's usually right there on the side of the jar or the container, unless they've changed it since I had to go through all that. But that's the reality of it. See, when we put into our body what it needs, it automatically does the rest. And so, and to those of you that think that you need just this absolute enormous amount of protein, are you overweight? Guess what happens to protein when you eat too much of it? Some of it gets turned into glycogen. Some of it gets stored as fat. And so you can actually make yourself fatter, and you'll see it. They have these phases, these mass phases, where they just eat a ton of stuff. And getting fat does not help you in your mass phase. And there's this thought process out there that if you are losing fat, you're also losing muscle. Because what they're doing is they're cutting calories in order to lose weight. And so they can only eat so much protein. They can't get enough protein, so they lose the muscle that they've been working so hard to do. So they have these mass phases, and then they have these cut phases. When what they could do is they could just eat a normal balanced diet and get enough protein, not too much, just get enough, and their brain will tell them, their body will tell them, hey, eat something. You know, it's not that complicated of a system, guys. Hunger is not a big deal. We've all experienced it, and for those that are not addicted to things, the hunger that you feel is different from those who are addicted to things. It's a feeling that's more in the throat, and it's not this uncomfortable, crazy feeling, but it's a feeling that lets you know, hey, if I've used the stuff that you put in me for the last meal, and so what I need now is I need to replace that, So I don't have to go and catabolize the muscle and use that, turn that into glycogen and use that for energy, because we can't let things like the brain and the liver go without energy, because what happens is they die. And so that's just a quick synopsis of what happens when you're getting hungry. But when we get up, and who hasn't done this? You're bored, so you get up and you go eat. And, I mean, who goes and grabs a thing of split peas? You know, a handful of split peas. No, you go for the chips and the dip, or you go for the ice cream, or whatever the case is. And that doesn't help anything. The reality is you just ate a bunch of nothing that your body just simply doesn't need it. And so then you've created a vicious cycle. That's where the weight comes from. So when you get off of that roller coaster and your blood sugar stays normal because you're not putting processed sugar in it, then the ability to gain weight through fat is seriously diminished. And we've got a little bit of time left. I've actually got about 24 minutes left here. If somebody wants to call in, they got a question or something to add, the call-in number 914-205-5494. You can add something to the program. Please give me a call, and we'll chat for a minute. But I'd love to hear any questions or comments that you have. And so understand, whatever it is that you need, your body will tell you. Cravings are not normal. They're not natural. I crave chocolate. I crave alcohol. I crave pop. I crave whatever. Those are not normal. Those are not built in. Those are things that we create when we put those things into our body, and our body loves that immediate rush, that insulin popping in, that sugar high. And we like that. The body doesn't particularly care for that at all. And so what I would encourage you to do, and in fact, along with getting the protein, so just to address briefly how I get the protein that I get in a given day, I eat some peanut butter in the morning, and then I bring a salad, and I make sure I have some stuff in the salad that's got plenty of protein in it. So that meal is going to have 20-ish grams in it, and it's going to be light in the calories because, a lot of your fruits or a lot of your vegetables and beans and lentils and stuff, 20 to 50% of their caloric value is going to be in protein. So I have that, and then I usually have something at one of the places that I deliver to. And one of the places that I stop at, they'll say, hey, you want something to eat? And I'll get a quick omelet or something like that. I might get a little bit of chicken or something. And then if I go in a little bit later, I'll go and I'll work out, and then I'll have a protein supplement afterwards. That's another 30. And then, come home and eat a couple hours later, and that's dinner. And, there's my 100. There's my 100 grams plus a protein. I mean, it's very easy. But if you're gaining weight, if you're gaining fat, I should say, if your idea is to gain weight in the form of muscle, then more and more and more and more protein is not the answer. That's not a reality that is right for anybody. And understand, if you're an athlete, do not work out and do not eat like a bodybuilder, because it won't work for you. It only works for bodybuilders. What do you think would happen if a bodybuilder ate like a marathoner, or if a bodybuilder ate like a baseball player, or if a bodybuilder ate like a boxer or a CrossFit athlete or whatever? Their needs are specific, and so are yours. That's the benefit of a personal trainer. They sit down with you. They talk to you. They tailor the workout that you want and the diet that you want around what it is you're trying to accomplish. And if you're not trying to be a bodybuilder, then they're not going to give you a bodybuilder diet. So they're not going to give you a workout that says, lay down on the bench press, do 12, 10, 8, 6. And then go over and do the incline dumbbell press and do another 12, 10, 8, 6. And then go to the close grip bench press and do 12, 10, 8, 6. And then go to the dip bar and do 12, 10, 8, 6. They're not going to give you something that looks like that. In fact, when I'm working out, I almost never bench, because the reality, the possibility that I'm ever going to be laying on the ground with hundreds of pounds on my chest is nothing. That's a bad day if I end up on the ground with a few hundred pounds on my chest and I have to push it off. That's not a good day. So I don't train for that. I train in a way that uses my core a lot more often. And the reality of that is it helps me function in my day a lot better. And then when you're looking to whatever your goals are, that's how you eat. If you're looking to lose weight, then you got to become calorie deficient. That doesn't mean protein deficient. That means calorie deficient, which is pretty easy to do once you kick out the processed foods and all of that type of stuff. What I want to do here is make it simple. Keep it more and more simple. And if you have questions on your routine, your diet, the things that you're doing, go on the website, deathofdiets.com, or give me a, you know, shoot me an email at info@deathofdiets.com. And we will chat about whatever it is that you need to do. And your needs will be considered. I got some real cheap stuff on there, very easy to do. Just an email away. Everything comes directly to my phone or my iPad. I'm on my laptop here and there. And the fact that I'm on vacation this week has nothing to do with deathofdiets.com or any of that. I've got a blog getting ready to go up there again, so you can look for that. In fact, I'll have a couple. I plan on doing another show tomorrow, maybe even as soon as tomorrow morning, because one of the things I want to address is the little kids. You know, it's baseball season now. I've got a 9-year-old that's getting ready to play some baseball. And there are things that you can do in just play that will work your son or daughter out in such a way where he doesn't even know they're working out. And so it's just play. It's just good time. And nobody gets hurt. And nobody's lifting weights and throwing iron around, nothing like that. And sometimes there's even some things that you can do together as parent and child. And so I want to address some of that. Hopefully I'll get to that tomorrow morning. I got a couple of things to do tomorrow morning. And but hopefully I'm hoping to squeeze that in a quick 30-minute show. But I would also like to get some stuff up there that you could sink your teeth into and perhaps purchase for the benefit of your children. And once we start getting them into, and this is something that I'm starting to see, starting to notice, is if we can get our kids in regular habits, and I don't mean workout routines yet at, you know, single digit age, it's a little bit young, but if we can get them working on things that are strength bearing, weight bearing, strength training, and we can start them on this healthy process, the ultimate goal is, whenever, you know, whichever of our kids end up going to college and, you know, being in some competitive sport in college, they will already have the ability and the knowledge and the understanding to be able to stay away from the steroids that are so prevalent in the college level in lots of different sports. You'd be shocked. And so one of the things to do is to start them out at 9, 10, 11 years old and working on their performance through play, you know, like doing a wheelbarrow run, stuff like that. And then proper diet, not just carb, 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 carb. All I want's noodles and all I want's bread and all I want's candy and all I want's chips. Instead of all that stuff, you know, no, you're going to have some salad. No, you're going to have to try these, you know, kidney beans. And I know, I hear the same thing. I get all the same complaints. Oh, I'm not eating that. Great. Well, guess what? When you go in, you want that piece of birthday cake or whatever it is that's left over. Nope, it's an apple. Nope, it's something else. It's a banana, or it's some peanut butter and a banana, or something like, you know, it's something that is actually adding to them nutritionally. And so we get it in one way or another because we're parents and that's our job. And so my goal is to help you help those children make better decisions and get themselves on a path where they're not choosing drugs and they're not choosing the short way or the shortcut or the easy way. We want ultimately to see our kids succeed, not necessarily to see them become professional athletes, pro athletes. We want to see them live, not by drugs, not by shortcuts, not by doing it the wrong way, but by doing it the right way. And that means we get involved. We talk to the coaches. You know, when they're here with us, we work with them. We do things with them. We work them out. You know, that's what I've been doing with my son for the last 14, 15, 16 months, something like that. And when you go on deathofdiets.com, you'll see him. And when he started out, oh man, it was 14 months ago. Well, actually March of last year. So yeah, we're in April now. So 13 months ago, he was 192 pounds at 5'10". Today he's 6 foot and 216, 217, and he's not fat at all. You'll see in the videos there what he looks like. And what we did was, and now understand, he's never been overtrained, not since I've had him. Other coaches that had him overtrained him because they didn't know what they were doing. He's not been injured. He's not been overtrained. There have been times where he's been sick and I've given him days off. We haven't spent hours in the gym, not even in a given week. Hours plural, absolutely not. Our day does not revolve around that. If you don't want your diet or your exercise, your life, to revolve around your diet or your exercise, go to deathofdiets.com and check that out there. I would be more than happy to chat with you guys. Just go in, pick the program that you need, and we'll get some stuff set up for you. And your life will not revolve around diet and exercise. It absolutely will not. And you'll be able to get into the gym, get your 20 to 30 minutes done, and get out. And you'll feel like $1 million. We're not talking, you know, no pain, no gain. I don't do any of that stuff. That's where overtraining and terrible things come from. That sounds like a good show to do coming up, getting rid of that myth. And ultimately, getting you healthier, getting you to a weight that's healthy for you. Not for me, not for the bodybuilder, not for the professional athlete. But there's a lot of different things that we can do in training, at the gym, wherever you, whatever you do, in your basement at home, just using your own body weight. There's a lot of good things that you can do that will greatly enhance your quality of life and greatly decrease the possibility that you end up with a disease. Nothing is foolproof. Nothing's 100%, but we can greatly and dramatically increase your quality of life, not just the number of years that you live, but the amount of life that's in those years. No good sitting around watching everybody else do stuff, but you're bedridden or you're in a wheelchair and you can't get out. So we can work on all that stuff, and we can bring a bunch of common sense to all of these different things that we've been talking about, whether it's talking about kids and what they do, protein, you know, how to diet, how to exercise, how to, you know, what a good weight routine looks like. What if you need strength and endurance? That's the blog that's getting ready to go up today or tomorrow morning. So that way you can get a better idea of what a strength and endurance workout looks like and what that routine looks like. That's just going to go up on the blog. You'll be able to see that. And it's just an example. It's kind of an outline or a sketch. By no means is it, this is what everybody should do, and if they all did this, they'll all have strength and endurance. That's not what I'm saying, but it's a good place to start. And if you're overtraining, we can deal with that. We'll work some rest into your routine. We'll take it easy on you for a little bit, and then we'll get rid of all that. We'll up the protein a little bit because your body's going to need it, and we'll up the rest. And so I guess that's pretty much it. I've not seen anybody on the in the chat room. I've not gotten any phone calls. So I guess that's about all I have. Just use some common sense. When you're hungry, eat some food. When you work out, after a good hard workout, you know, throw a little whey protein isolate in there. It's good stuff. It'll get right into the bloodstream and help you out with the things that you need help with in producing muscle and recovery and all of that. It'll shorten that window quite a bit. But then again, so are fruits and vegetables. So eat that balanced diet. Do the stuff your mom told you. Eat the fruits and vegetables. Do all that stuff. Get the recovery. Make sure you get enough sleep. All of those things are enormously important. You can't reduce any of them in importance because the body needs it all. And so I hope I'm bringing just a great common sense view to all of this stuff here. And I hope you guys are able to get some benefit from the show. But I wish you the best of luck on your workouts either tonight or tomorrow, wherever you may be at. Go out, enjoy, get it done, bring it. And I will see you all in the next day or so. I would imagine I'll be on here again tomorrow because I got a little extra time. And so I'm looking forward to it. I will see you all then. And we'll get out with some Will Smith again just because I like it. See you tomorrow. Bring it.
On your mark, ready, set, let's